This season, we have been talking quite a bit about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We've looked at her encounter with Elizabeth, as Elizabeth was also expecting John the Baptist. We talked about Mary as the mother of God, as Elizabeth calls her, the mother of my Lord. And we've spent some time in Mary's song, in the poem, the song that she sings as a response to all of the things that have happened to her. It's often called the Magnificat. It opens with her saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This morning, our focus is going to be after Jesus' birth, verses 15 through 20, where Mary treasures up all of the things that have happened to her, and she ponders them in her heart. But to bring us to that story, we're going to begin reading the birth story of Jesus Christ and read through to verse 20. So our focus this morning is going to be on verses 15 through 20, and especially verse 19. But we're going to begin reading at the start of Luke chapter 2. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, amidst the clamor, amidst the worry and fear of a night like Jesus' birth, of a young woman giving birth to her first son, without a proper room in which to stay, laying her child in a manger with strange shepherds coming to visit him. And as those in the city wondered and were astonished at what the shepherds told them, Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. She took what you had said and what you had done and were doing, She turned them over again and again in her mind. To know you better. To understand her son, your son. To see just what it was that you were doing on that day. Lord, give us the same desire to hear your word, to see what you've done, to turn it over again and again in our minds, to know you better, to see your son more clearly. So, Father, open up your word to us this morning, that we might treasure it in our hearts and ponder it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There is the chaos. It's not the most dangerous chaos that ever happens, but we tell the Christmas story so many times that I think it becomes very domesticated to us, right? It all seems very peaceful and serene. But here we have a young couple, not in their hometown, not in a familiar place, and it's time for her to give birth, and she can't find a place to give birth, a place where she might have relative comfort and perhaps some privacy like we all might like if we were in that situation. Can you imagine the rising panic of Mary as the time comes to give birth? And we're figuring out that a stable with a manger for the baby might be the only place that we can do it. The rising level of anxiety in Joseph's voice as he goes from door to door trying to find a place for them to stay. And then having gone through all of that, to have a bunch of shepherds show up at the door that you don't know who they are, wanting to see your new baby because an angel told them about him. It would have been a chaotic night. Certainly one to remember. And amidst all of that, even as the shepherds come and they see Jesus and they tell Mary and Joseph what's happened to them with the appearance of the angel, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the way it's stated in Luke suggests that She took time to really, she was mulling things over. She was turning the things over again and again in her mind, trying to understand what had happened. In the running around of everyone else, in the chaos of that night, she pondered what was happening. She treasured the events and those words in her heart. And it turns out that, Luke tells us about this, perhaps because he's had a chance to talk with Mary about what happened on that night. But more than that, he's giving to his readers, not just those who read his work in the first century, but us who read his work 2 millennia later. He is giving those who want to be disciples of Jesus who believe in him and want to follow him, he's giving us an encouragement that just as Mary took time to ponder the wonder and the miracle of the appearance of Jesus Christ, that we ought to do the same. In his commentary on this passage, the reformer John Calvin says, if we are wise, this ought to be a principal occupation, a supreme interest of our lives, to think over the works of God with all application as they build up our faith. That's, That's what Mary was doing with her child that night. And you know what's interesting about it is that for us as Protestants, I think often the incarnation isn't something that we think about very much, or that we realize the importance of it very much. Speaking personally, I often thought of the incarnation as significant just because it was necessary in order for the crucifixion to happen. That it's significant that Jesus was born because he had to be born before he could die. But that's really why it's important that he came. But you know, throughout history, our brothers and sisters in the Christian church, going all the way back to antiquity, all the way back to the very earliest of Christians, they realized that this event was of supreme importance, even by itself. The third century church father, Irenaeus of Lyon, saw that the goal of our creation as human beings, as people made in God's image, that one of our chief purposes being here in this life is to enter into greater and deeper communion with God. And so he saw the incarnation as a response to the need for forgiveness of sin, yes, but it was also to provide a way for deeper communion between people and God. Because if God becomes one of us, then we can identify with him even more closely. We can draw even closer to God than we had before, because Jesus is a man like us. He said, "This is the reason why the Word of God was made flesh, and the Son of God became Son of Man, so that we might enter into communion with the Word of God, and by receiving adoption might become sons of God. Indeed, we should not be able to share in immortality without a close union with the immortal. How could we have united ourselves with immortality if immortality had not become what we are, in such a way that we should be absorbed by it, and thus we should be adopted as sons of God?" That's beautiful. That Jesus comes, and because Jesus comes, because he becomes one of us, we can be invited into even the immortality of God, that we can know eternal life because God becomes one of us. The fourth century Egyptian father, Athanasius of Alexandria, saw in the incarnation true godliness and true faithfulness to those around us. It is simple, compassionate, and full of truth. He said, "The Lord didn't come to make a display. He came to heal and to teach suffering men. For one who wanted to make a display, the thing would have been just to appear and dazzle the beholders. But for him who came to heal and to teach the way, was not merely to dwell here, but to put himself at the disposal of those who needed him, and to be manifested according as they could bear it, not vitiating the value of the divine appearing by exceeding their capacity to receive it." He says that Jesus came simply because that's what we could receive. He came not to make a show of himself, but in order to come so that he could serve, he could heal, and he could teach those who were suffering. And this one is my favorite. The fourth century doctor of the church, Ambrose of Milan, wrote how the incarnation was an act of humiliation for Jesus, which led to glorification for us. That the simple act of Jesus appearing, of Jesus taking on flesh, is for our benefit. He says, "He became a small babe so that you could be fully grown, perfect human beings. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes so that you might be freed from the bonds of death. He came to the manger to bring you to the altar. He was on earth so that you might be in heaven. Our Christmases are sometimes hectic, sometimes simple. But in the plans and the meals and the gift-giving, all of which is wonderful, it is good to celebrate the coming of our Lord. How often do we take time to ponder the incarnation? Christmas is a time of celebration, and it should be. It should also be a time of reflection, where this amazing, mind-twisting truth of the incarnation is presented to us again, laid bare for us again. That the eternal God himself steps down out of heaven in human flesh. And it might be easy to think that Mary sat back on this night and thought about this and then sort of figured everything about Jesus out. But you know, that's really not the case. Before Advent, we had been going through the Gospel of Mark, and way back months ago, we were in Mark chapter 3, right near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus is teaching, and he is starting to gather a following, and people are going out to hear him wherever he goes. And his family, including his mother and his brothers, do you remember what they do? They try to find him where he is, and they try to drag him home because they are concerned for him because they believe that he's out of his mind. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know? And, or at least I mentioned it. And it was played during the offering this morning. And you know, it's an interesting question, and we were saying as we were going through Mary's song that the answer is mostly yes, that Mary, it seems, knew quite a bit about who it was that she was giving birth to. I mean, after all, the angel Gabriel had told her who Jesus was going to be. But even with all of the information she had received, even with all of the pondering that she had done around Jesus' arrival, you know, she knew a lot, but she did not have all of it figured out. When it became time for him to start his ministry, she thought he was crazy and wanted to get him out of the public eye. For all of her faithful pondering, she still had more to learn. And that's encouraging for me. You know, maybe you've heard those quotes from antiquity about the incarnation, and you realize that you've never really pondered Christ's coming before. And maybe you've tried to wrap your mind around the human and the divine being united in one person, in a helpless baby, no less, only to find that it's a completely daunting idea. Good. There is nothing simple or easy about the miracle of the incarnation. The good news is, Mary wasn't expected to have everything figured out that first night. But she did begin a lifetime of pondering the work of God in her very own son. And we're given the same. To say we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and is the one and only God-man, that's not the end of the matter. It's just the beginning. And it changes everything. You are given your whole life to believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins and for life, to follow him and ask the Holy Spirit to help you become like him, and to ponder the wonder of his coming. So take that opportunity this Christmas and every Christmas, but take that opportunity every time it comes to just sit and think and wonder at the amazing truth that Jesus Christ has come. God in human flesh. He became a small babe so that you could be fully grown. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes so that you might be freed from the bonds of death. He was on earth so that you might be in heaven. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Our Father, let us always be amazed at the truth of the incarnation of God taking on flesh forever and ever for our sakes. Let us, like Mary, treasure this truth in our hearts and ponder it, for it is a great and deep and beautiful mystery. And it opens up to us deeper and greater communion with you, better and more holy compassion and love for those around us, and hope to have life and to see you. Give us the same wonder, the same desire to know and to understand as Mary had. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.